Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5. I would like to read with the help of the Lord from the verse number 9 to the verse number 12. I have selected a very short passage because these verses apparently take so much to share about, and last time we read more than I had time to share. So let us read Matthew 5 from the verse 9 to the verse number 12. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is the passage. And now let us take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we look into the abundance of blessings that Thou hast sent our way through Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray for the blessing of prayerfulness, for the blessing of the guidance of Thy Holy Spirit in our prayers. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou mold our heart, that our heart be adopted to the teaching of Thy holy word, and used to the godly affections and emotions. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we learned from Thy holy scriptures of old that human heart is desperately wicked, and we find it easy to see the wickedness in the hearts of the others, and not at all easy to detect, to see, to acknowledge, to admit the wickedness in our own heart, O Lord. Gracious and loving art Thou, O Heavenly Father, and we pray that Thou keep us from taking Thy goodness and Thy grace for granted, though it is. Help us to understand how costly, how precious is the gift that Thou art freely giving us, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou make our heart as a fertile ground, as the soil that is ready to receive the seed of life and the blessing of early and latter rain, to absorb the warmness of Thy sunshine through Christ the Lord, that we may bring forth the fruit, honoring Thy holy name, exalting the name of Christ, worshiping Thee, O Heavenly Father, that we may bring forth the fruit that is pleasing in Thy sight. O gracious and loving Lord Almighty God, wilt Thou remove from our thinking, from our emotions and affections, from our soul and from our body, O God, all that is not pleasing Thee. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray for that true godliness. How wonderful it is for our souls to know that there is nothing between us and Thee but Christ our Redeemer. That there is nothing to separate us from Thee, but all that is necessary to bind us together to Thee, O Heavenly Father. To be Thy faithful, beloved, lovable children that adore Thee so much through Christ Jesus. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou hast called Thy disciples in John's Gospel, little children. O, we pray that we may be, as the psalmist said, as a babe in the arms of his mother. That we may be desirous of that sincere milk of Thy teaching and the strong meat of Thy doctrines. That we may, O Heavenly Father, know Thy holy word and with love and gratitude embrace all that saves us. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, deliver us from the power of sin that works through our sinful thinking. And grant us, O gracious Lord, new heart and new mind, that the Spirit of Christ may richly dwell in our hearts, guide us and protect us, teach us and correct us, that we may find, O Heavenly Father, that Thy love is overwhelming, irresistible, that all within us that would oppose Thy love, O God, is dead. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for that simple, childlike faith in Thy holy word, that we may seek and know Thy will and receive the grace to do Thy will. O Heavenly Father, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory eternally. Amen. Well, I would like us to continue on the verse number 9, just as we read it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What kind of peace we are reading about here, and which peacemaking is blessed from our Heavenly Father? What kind of peacemaking is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proclaimed to be blessed here? And why would those that are that kind of peacemakers, making that kind of peace, be called the children of God? By whom they are going to be called? And how much is that calling or naming valid? How much value is in that? So many people call them names that they obviously don't deserve. Just a small example, we live in a city that is called San Diego. I don't see a lot of saintly things in this county, in this area. I wonder if that Diego was one of the Jameses or Jacobs that are in the Bible. But even so, If the man whose name this county is bearing is was holy and is holy in the sight of the Lord, does that make this city holy? Obviously not. So when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about blessedness and holiness, then it's real. It's strong. It's fundamental. It cannot be pushed around or moved from the foundation, because He is the foundation. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sent two and two His disciples in every city, every town that He Himself would come. And He told them to tell the people that the kingdom of God is at hand, and to share all the gifts and blessings that they received freely. I think that he said exactly like that. Freely ye have received, freely give. Well, why would that be so? If we freely received, why would we have to freely give? Can't we make some profit? At least we carry that, what we received, to another place. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came from a greater distance than ours. When He sent us to go to next city, next town, it's a short distance. When He came from eternal glory to this earth, it's a long distance. He wants us, in our peacemaking, to go that long distance, to do it in His manner. If we don't care to do something that our Lord has commanded us in His style, in His manner, we are not the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who are the peacemakers that shall be called the children of God? Is this something that is distant future or instant, immediate future? Is that clearly defined in the scripture? Why are the peacemakers blessed? Are they blessed now? Or will they be blessed later? Or both? Are they the children of God as soon as they proclaim the gospel of peace? Or they shall be the children of God at some later time in the future? I would, just by reading this verse within this passage, I would say that there is a path before one can be a peacemaker. He has to receive peace from the Lord. Now, it's true, when the Lord sent the disciples, that they still did not understand the gospel as they should and as they will understand later. But what they did, they did exactly what He commanded them. And that was the gospel of peace. When the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration with some of His disciples, and the other disciples were somewhere down beneath the mountain, and a father came and begged for the deliverance, the healing of his child, and the disciples tried to heal this child, and they were not able to do it. I think that the Lord said to them that they were not able to do it because of their unbelief. In my translation, they were not able to do it because He did not command them to do it. They cannot take the gift of God or the commandment of God and apply it in any other way but as He told them. And before He went up into that mountain, I would think that the Lord told His disciples to just wait for Him. And when the man with the child came and sought help, they should have told him, as Joseph told to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, "It is not in my power to do anything. God shall reveal to Pharaoh what his will is and what he is about to do." The disciples could have said to the father, "Just wait. Our teacher, our master, our Lord Jesus will be shortly back, and we will bring your petition and your need to him. We have no commandment." But did not the Lord say to the disciples, "Heal the sick, cast out demons, proclaim the gospel"? Yes, he did. But he told them, "You too go in this direction, and you too go in that direction, and these two go in that direction," and so on. He told them what to do and where to go. He did not leave that much for them to guess, if at all. In this case, I think they guessed, or maybe something worse than guessed. The Lord took some disciples up into the mountain. Now we are going to do something without them. After all, are not we also just as much the disciples of the Lord Jesus as the other three? Well, if they obey and accept everything that the Lord gives them, they are just as much the disciples of the Lord Jesus. The moment anyone takes something in his own hands, we turn away from the Lord and we do our own will. That's not peacemaking. That's war making. That's not proclaiming the gospel. It's opposing the gospel. Or it may be in disguise. It may look like the gospel peacemaking, but not. Only with Christ our Lord and Savior leading us in His Spirit, since He is not among us in the flesh, He is His Word and the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and to teach us His will. So these are the peacemakers. Now, what about peacemaking every day? On our job, in our family, in the shopping center, on the highway, the back roads, whatever. What about peacemaking when one man is all alone? Avoid bitterness. Bitterness is not peacemaking. Anger, impatience, all of that, which I personally have to battle against every day. All of that is not peacemaking. We read somewhere in the epistle that Paul the Apostle is quoting the commandment from the Old Testament, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox treading corn." You're not going to limit an animal and to be overly strict to that animal and overly concerned for your gain so much that that animal will work with the grain and be deprived of it. And then Paul the Apostle says, is God concerned for the animals? Well, if He is not concerned for the animals, why did He leave or give that commandment? There is another commandment that says, if you go on your way through the field and you find a bird in the nest with the chicks and you want to take some of that for food, do not take the mother and the chicks. Let the mother fly away, take the chicks and go your way. Why? Was the Lord concerned for the bird? No. Not necessarily. Of course, not even two sparrows are forgotten. Not even a hair from a man's head is forgotten. Everything is in the sight of our Lord and He takes care of everything. But why did He give that commandment if the focus of the commandment is not on the bird? Well, if the focus of the commandment was on the bird, the commandment would be addressed to the bird. It's so simple. The commandment was to the people. Why? Because He was concerned for the people. And when God gives us a commandment, that's because He is concerned for our well-being. Because He is putting a rail around us, knowing that we are inclined to step off, to go in the wrong direction. Knowing that Satan is right next to the road to tell us that that is the road where he is. That is the path where he leads. Actually misleads. So, the Lord gave His commandment that we should not abuse our environment. Why? For our own sake. That we could enjoy the blessings that the Lord has given us and praise and magnify and worship the Lord. He commanded the children of Israel to offer sacrifices. Somewhere in the prophets He said, "What do you want? Do you think that I drink the blood of your animals? That I need the meat of your sacrifices? It's all ugly and nasty to me. I don't want to see it." And yet He commanded them. So why? Why did he reject the sacrifices, seeing that he himself has commanded them to offer sacrifices? He gave them sacrifices for their own good, for their own need, to realize, to understand what God has done, is going to do, and is doing at that time for them. When they brought sacrifices in a perverted, corrupted way, the sacrifices were not sacrifices. They were not offering to the Lord, they were offering to Cain. They were offerings to Satan, to idols. Isn't that awful? I think it's terrible. When the Lord said, "Thou shalt not muzzle an ox treading the corn," He did not want us to be cruel, to have cruelty even toward animals. He wants us to be peaceful, peace-loving, peacemaking people of His, God's people. So in everything we should have that peaceful manner. What a reason to continue in prayers. The Lord says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Is this a commandment that we must be peacemakers? Or is it only a teaching? Let me ask the right question. Is there any difference between commandment, teaching, precept, ordinance when it's coming through the lips of our Lord? Suppose that He gave us a teaching, not a commandment. Do we know a better teaching than the one that He's giving? So, not only a commandment is of great importance for us, but every word that cometh through His mouth. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh through the lips of our God. So peacemakers are blessed continually if they are peacemakers continually. If the peacemakers have interruptions, making peace in public and not peace at home, making peace with men and not peace with the rest of the environment, making peace for the sake of the others and their opinion about us, and not making peace when I'm alone with the Lord, I'm not a peacemaker. I don't even know what I am in that case. So for the continual flow of God's blessing, we should be continual peacemakers. And then we are the children of God. So blessedness in peacemaking is a characteristic of the children of God, of the childhood in God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now we come to an interesting change in the text, in the message, in the preaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a quick review of the preceding verses of blessedness. I would say, when I realized that I'm poor in spirit, I was comforted, encouraged by the promise that the kingdom of heaven is for me. Going in that direction, prayerfully and with the help of the Lord and by His grace, I realize more and more how great are my sins and my sinfulness and my distance from the Lord. And that's a serious cause for lamentation, for mourning, for repentance. And then I find and receive comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. This development in the spirit of the Scripture makes me meek and humble. But it opens to me additional treasure of God's blessedness, and also it opens the whole earth to me. Now I can go wherever the Lord leads me, always proclaiming the gospel of the Lord, what He has done for me, and how He changed my proud heart to be a meek and childlike heart before Him. Doing that, I hunger and thirst more and more for righteousness, and the Lord is feeding me and filling my heart with His word, with His blessings upon my soul, and giving more and more for every new task, new assignment. The life becomes very active. There is no idleness. There is no aimlessness. The Lord has outlined the path of righteousness before me. And I look at the others, and all I can desire, the same mercy that the Lord has given me, to be extended to them.